Well, good morning. Good job getting here today in that rain. That's pretty impressive. But who's happier that it's rain and not snow? I can't be the only one that's like, yay. So, well, my name is Kelly Tibbetts. I'm excited to share a message with you today from my very favorite Christmas carol. We are at the end of our series called Carols, Why We Sing the Songs We Sing. And we're also at the end of our Garden to City year. That went so fast. And so today and on Friday, we'll be sharing with you some scripture from the book of Revelation. But today, I want you to know that we are gathered for one reason, and that lyric from O Holy Night tells us what that is. Because Jesus Christ was born, our souls feel their worth. And so the first lines of that hymn may be familiar to you. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared, and our souls felt its worth. You know, my kids have been part of a program up where I live in New Hampshire, where we did the best Christmas pageant ever every Christmas for multiple years when they were little. I don't know if you're familiar with this story. An easy way to describe it would be to say it's about a little family of children called the Herdmans who are far from God. And they are dirty, and their parents aren't paying any attention to them, and they don't know any scripture at all. And one day they show up at their local church just as it's time to put on the local Christmas pageant of the Luke 2 nativity story. And they end up stepping into the roles of Mary and Joseph and the angels. And the story of Christmas comes to life. And so it was such a joy each year for my girls to be part of that and sing these songs. And of course, every year you hoped for a part where you got to be a Herdman, because that was so fun, right? You could be mean. And so my youngest, when she was 5, got, in my opinion, the pinnacle role, which is Gladys, the youngest of the little Herdman children in the play. Because Gladys says the most important line. She comes out as only a 5-year-old can and says, "Hey, unto you a child is born," right? Because that's how you say it when you're 5. A child is born. And so that is the good news of today. Unto you a child is born. And that is Jesus. And he is with us today. And when we believe that, our souls feel their worth. So what does that even mean? Our souls feel their worth. Another word might be disciple. And a disciple, a great definition I've seen, is someone who is a loving follower of Jesus. Because we know when we understand the love of God, we're able to share it with other people. So are we beginning to understand, as disciples of Christ, the worth of our souls? And do you care well for your soul? Do you find it easy to rest? I know that's something that many of us have found hard to do. I've been serving as the executive pastor here since July, and next week will be my first vacation since I became executive pastor, and I am so excited to rest, because my husband will tell you, I have two modes, like go really fast and I stop. That's it. I don't have anything in between. So I'm hoping that next week I will learn just how to slow down a little bit. So I have some fun things planned. I'm going to do some Netflixing. I haven't seen Gilmore Girls yet, so I'm really excited about that. And then something called This Is Us. I don't know if any of you have started watching that, but apparently that's really good too. And then I'm going to read, and I'm really excited. I had bought a Bible from a Kickstarter that has the Bible in actually 5 hardbound books, beautiful paper, so I'm excited to read that. And then one of my very favorite authors is Lisa Turkhurst, and so I'm excited to read again her book Uninvited, because I find so much of what she's saying there is so impactful to me. So a lot of what I'm sharing with you today came from that. And the first little verse that I want you to see, one of the things she said, is the only way for our soul to understand its worth is to have an intimacy-based identity. And see, at the core of who we are, whether we're followers of Christ or not, we know this, right? We're longing to be in relationship with someone who just understands our soul. And the truth is, our soul was created to be intimate with God alone. And every human that we try to put in that place will fail us. There is no relationship that can fill the space that God was intended to fill. And that includes any teacher, any boss, any spouse, any child. Because as broken people, we will say things and do things that injure each other. And if we're honest, we sit here today and our souls have been injured somewhere along the point of our lives, along the path we've taken. People have said things and done things that have injured our soul. For some of us, that rejection happened way back in grammar school while you were on the playground. Someone said something or did something. You went out to recess as part of a group of friends, and you came back in and had to sit at the table alone ever since. Others of us have had people speak lies over us, and you began to believe it. Maybe you were called fat or ugly or stupid or a loser. And to this day, you still struggle with that label. I have to say, as I was preparing this message, that's true of me. I grew up in Lowell, and we were very poor. And because of that, we moved neighborhood to neighborhood. And in Lowell, that wasn't common back then. You kind of lived in one neighborhood your whole life. So I went to one school when I was younger in Pawtucketville, and then we moved to Centerville, and then we moved to Christian Hill. And I had to keep making friends. And it made my soul feel like I was unloved, and I didn't have anybody I could count on. And then as I was a teenager, I had a lot of acne. So the word I believed was ugly. And then for whatever reason, I had a lot of skinny friends. Because as I look back at the pictures now, the word I believed about myself was fat. And I don't know if any of you look back in the past and say, if I could only be that fat again, I would be really happy. But those were the words I believed about myself, alone and fat and ugly. And maybe there are labels that people have spoken over you, lies they've said that are not true. But I know what happened to me is somewhere between first grade and 12th grade, I lost all the parts that God had created in me in advance to do what he's called me to do. And when I went off to college, I was able to sort of reinvent myself, and I began to get glimpses again of who it is that God made me to be. And then in my 30s, I began to do some Beth Moore Bible studies and be surrounded by people who spoke truth over me. And so the beautiful thing is that God makes all things new, doesn't he? And I was able to make sure that my children knew growing up, truth is not what other people say. Truth is what God says. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how smart you are, how good you are at sports. What matters? Are you kind and loving because the love of God overflows from you because you understand how very loved you are? So one of the things Lisa says is the resulting hurt of any form of rejection can linger and entangle us from moving forward if we don't put it behind us. And I think this is important enough to look at it one more time. So you may have been hurt. You may have been rejected, and it's still there. It's lingering and entangling you and keeping you from moving forward into the role, into the place that God has created in advance for you to be. And the good news is God is good, and he's good all the time, and he has a great plan for your life. Paul told this to his friends in Ephesus in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and I want to read a little bit to you, and this is true for you and for me today. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is for us. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. And then what will happen? You will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. See, if we could look outside of time, we might be able to see back to those days when someone said something that wasn't true, was a lie, and that lie became a label that you wear even to today. And someone might have said something or done something or both, and you left that moment feeling like you were not accepted or you were not loved. And to this day, you wear a label that says unloved, and that's not truth. The truth is you are worthy of love because the creator of the universe made you and loves you more than you will ever understand. And Christmas is a celebration of Jesus Christ, and Christ came for one reason. That was to reconcile us to his Father, the God who made us and knows us, who loves us and has a great plan for us. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. Leave here today knowing you are loved. No matter what's been said or what's been done, you are loved. And Jesus did the most amazing thing. See, with the power of the blood that was shed for us on the cross, he is now covered over any sin, any word, any thought, anything we've done that's contrary to the will of God. And so this is what I want us to know. Don't allow a lie to become a label. Believe what God says. And what does he say? He says, you are loved. Lisa continues and says, rejection steals the best of who I am by reinforcing the worst of what's been said to me or done to me. I have a friend who was a pastor, and he said once, I don't know what it is about us, but when someone says something negative, it's like getting a birthday card, and we read it and believe it over and over and over again. And then other people come, and they speak truth and life over us, and it's like getting a paycheck. You look at it, you glance at it, yeah, it's right, and you throw it away. See, that's not what we were intended to do. We were intended to believe the God who made us. And in Scripture, we started this year, this garden to city year in Genesis 1. And when God created the heavens and the earth and everything that came after it, he said everything was tov. It was made perfectly to do what it was created to do. But in Genesis 3, we see that sin has entered the world and broken all of what God had intended things to be. And since that moment, he has been working to reconcile creation back to him. And that's the exciting part of the book of Revelation, as God tells us how this all ends. In the new Jerusalem, the new city that Mike will talk about Friday night, where all things are made new,
where we see every tear that we have cried has been collected by the God who made us and loves us. God made a perfect world, but sin destroyed it. And the good news is God set in place a plan to reconcile us. God and man are reconciled. Hark, the herald angels sing. It's why we sing these songs that bring us joy at Christmas. So what does it look like today for you, for your soul to feel its worth? Have you ever had a moment where your body felt its worth? You know that scene in Rocky where he runs up the stairs in Philadelphia and his hands are up? Have you ever had that moment for you? I know some of my friends sitting here are runners, and I am so impressed by you. Like, you do 5Ks and 10Ks and half marathons and marathons. I've run one 5K. And my goal was very simple, not to be last. And I am not kidding you that I'm running and there are little children like moving along and picking up a flower and walking a little, and they're beating me, right? And so my goal is like, I don't want to be last. And so I get near the end and I can see if I could just run faster, there's the timer, I can do it in under 45 minutes. And so I run like I've never run before, and I literally cannot breathe when it's over, but my soul felt, my body felt its worth. And the only other time I felt that way was my husband and I joined a great gym 2 years ago. And we joined that because my oldest daughter had gone off to college and the president said, do something to fill this time that you're going to lose when your child's gone. And we had gone to the gym for years, like twice a month I would walk on a treadmill and nothing was happening. So I joined this new gym and it has great trainers. And the first class is a kickboxing class and you're supposed to push your punching bag back when you're done. And I can't because I'm really not strong. But 2 months later, I'm in boot camp. And the goal was to push the bag across the floor and back. And I did it. And I couldn't even believe what I was feeling inside. Like that Rocky, my body felt its worth. And you know, that's what God created our soul to feel like. Now, I'm a developer. God gave me the gift of teaching. But what I really love to do is to spend time with you and see where it is that you could use your gifts for the kingdom of God. And when that happens, I have joy that makes my soul feel its worth. So when I love walking back to Kids Harbor and seeing people that I've invested in, as they've grown up, they're using their gifts and they're helping children find their way back to God. In fact, this morning I was standing at the welcome table and a little boy ran in and he said, can I help today? And the lady standing next to me said, wasn't that exciting? That's what we want, isn't it? Every one of us to walk in today and say, can I help? Can I use this gift that God has given me? And so when we do that, when we do the thing that we were created to do, we know that our soul begins to feel its worth. And in order to do that hard thing the first time, second time, third time, it involves faith, doesn't it? Because it's scary to step out and do something we haven't done before. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, we see what faith is. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It's the evidence of things that we cannot see. And by faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that we see. It's so awe-inspiring, isn't it, to think of how the whole world was created just by God speaking, not by anything we can even see. That's the kind of faith that allows us to do and to soar when we are using our gifts and abilities that God has given us in advance. But how do we do that? How do we put God first? And I'm honestly standing here before you telling you, I struggle too. You know, when I stepped into this role as executive pastor, it gives me great life and it gives me great exhaustion, right? I could live here, but I also have a family to take care of. And all these new roles have kept me from doing things that I had had in place for a long time. I had good physical and spiritual disciplines in place that have started to be harder and harder for me to do. So that's what I'm working on right now. How do I care for my soul? And one thing I'm trying to take very seriously is just practicing the presence of God, just being still. And knowing that God is with me. And maybe for some of you, that is something that you would be able to do. Or maybe it's prayer. Because I find, as a person who struggles with anxiety, when things get hard and life get busy, I stop praying and instead I start worrying. And I start telling God the best way for him to fix things. And I start telling people about my problems, but I don't stop and bring it to the Creator who loves me. So maybe that's something that you also need, is just a time and a place to be still. And to pray and to listen, not just speak. Because I believe our souls feel their worth when we delight ourselves in the Lord. It's from Psalm 37, verse 4. It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. And what I think happens is, the more time we spend with Jesus, the more our heart wants what he wants. And we begin to desire what he desires, the advancement of his kingdom. And he gives us that. He gives us the desire of our heart. The Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're the part of the New Testament where Jesus walks on earth. And in Mark chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, we see Jesus call 12 friends. They would call them the disciples. And I never saw this until a few weeks ago when I was at a different church. I go on Thursday night just so I can hear the word. And the pastor spoke about this at Manchester Christian Church. And he said, in Mark chapter 3, Jesus chooses his 12 disciples. But before he gives them authority to preach and cast out demons, he first calls them to himself. And he wants their identity to be found in him. They are a friend of God. And scripture says that you and I are as well. We are called friends of God. Their identity was not in what they did. Their identity was in Christ. They were the loved friends of Jesus. Do you know that today? That's who you are. You are the beloved child of the Most High God. But even in the busyness of a season that celebrates Christ, we can forget this, can't we? We forget who we are. We forget to just be with God, to be with him and hear his love before we serve him. And I want you to know God cares more about your heart than your hands. He cares more about who you are than anything you will ever do. And I know others of you sit here today and the circumstances around your life are so incredibly difficult that it's hard to see beyond your own human limitation. But let us not ever forget this. We are not alone. That's the good news of Christmas. God came to be with us, Emmanuel. And so as we look at the lyrics of Oh Holy Night, remember, Jesus came so our soul would feel its worth. The song begins, Oh Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth. We find our hope in the promise of Jesus Christ. Emmanuel, God is with us. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, for no other reason. Jesus came to be with us. God's redeeming work was finished. Jesus was born, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for you and me, and his blood has covered every sin and reconciled us to the Father who made us and loves us. Oh, Holy Night continues, long lay the world in sin and error pining. Do you realize that sin is simply our thoughts and our words and our deeds that separate us from God? But the beautiful truth is that Jesus paid the price for every word, thought, deed that you've thought or someone has done to you. And that good news is the reason that we are doing what Allie was celebrating with you. On Friday night, December 23rd, we're going to go to the Chelmsford High School. And my prayer is that God would put someone on your heart whose soul does not know its own worth. And you would say, would you like to come hear the good news? And there's no other time besides Christmas that people might say yes to that. And as they come, they'll sing the songs with us and they'll be in the presence of the Most High God. And for a moment, their soul will feel their worth. Oh, Holy Night continues. Till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. I have to tell you about the night this line changed me. I grew up in church, went to Bible college, loved this hymn. My girls sang it year after year, but 2 years ago, I was sitting at Manchester Christian Church, and I can tell you where I was sitting. And all of a sudden, the people I was praying for, I felt the worth of their soul. And I realized they did not. And I began to pray for them. And every time I walk into that space, I pray for them. And I pray for my friends and for my family that are far from God for this one thing, Lord, may their soul feel its worth. And many of us sitting in this room today have people who we love and they are struggling. And whether it's depression or anxiety or addiction, if we could get to the root of what is wrong, what they're trying to cover up with their own strength, we would see that their soul does not feel its worth. Because our worth can only be found in one place. We have to go back to the manger, to where Jesus Christ was born. We have to look and see God loved us so much that he sent his son, not as a king, but as a servant, a faithful, loving friend who came to reconcile us to God the Father. Oh, Holy Night continues, a thrill of hope. A weary world rejoices. Some of you sitting here right now are so weary. And know that yet your soul can rejoice. Why? Because yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And what does worship look like? Fall on your knees. Hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine. I know a few weeks ago when Mike was going to preach the message that you heard him preach on what the angels sing, we had met prior to that to go over the message. And when he said, what did the angels sing? I was thinking, I don't know, Mike, what? This is so exciting. And you learned what the angels sing. They sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. And that is what we get to sing today. And we see those angels in Luke chapter 2. This is the familiar piece of scripture around the Christmas story. And it says in verse 8, there were shepherds lying out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, and he is Christ the Lord. And you'll find that baby wrapped in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." And then suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace on those whom his favor rests." That's the gift that God has given us this Christmas. The Prince of Peace has come. As I said earlier, we are finishing this year in the book of Revelation. Mike will preach on it Friday night. And this last book of scripture is often seen as very hard, difficult, scary. But it was written by John, one of those 12 friends that went up the mountain with Jesus and found his identity first in Christ before he went off and preached the word. And what God did is he pulled back the curtain of time so John could see outside of time, the God who was and is to come. And Revelation shows us there is no reason to fear. God is with us. And scripture shows us the truth. God is on the throne. No matter what is happening around us, God is on the throne. And Jesus is there beside him at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for you and for me and for all those you love who are far from Christ. But the truth is we have our own free will. We have the right to decide. We can choose to believe and love the God who made us, or we can choose to reject him. But in the book of Revelation, we see that one day all of creation stands before him. And it doesn't matter if you are the most powerful person on earth or someone simply with the power to speak death and life with our words. One day we stand before God, and Revelation says, who can stand? No one. None of us. Nothing we do is enough. But the good news is everything Christ did is enough. He has paid in full for every word, thought, and deed that has separated us from the God who made us. It's enough. So as we look at O Holy Night, it says, O night divine, O night when Christ was born, Christ has come. And that is our good news this Christmas that we are called to share to the world around us. But we need to be still in order to remember that God is with us. Emmanuel means God is with you. Let your soul feel its worth. Listen to the whisper of God speaking to your soul. O Holy Night continues and says, truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. I'm sure this happens every Christmas, but this Christmas especially, there seems to be such heaviness around our world. When I looked at the Google images for 2016, one of the videos that showed up was that little boy in Syria sitting in the ambulance in shock with blood coming down his head. And this week we hear about all of the tragedy going on in Aleppo, and also just around me, people I love who are in hard places. And you think, God, are you with us? Do you not care that innocent people suffer? And what do you and I do about that? How do we respond to the injustice of the world? What can I do? What can you do? What can one person do? Well, in O Holy Night, we see it. Truly, he taught us to love one another. And in his name, all oppression will cease. See, that's what we can do. We can fight for justice with the power of God in us. We can bring compassion and love to our world. We can care for our neighbor, and we can care for that person that is so hard to love, not in our own strength, but by the power of the Almighty God. As I mentioned before, if I haven't spent time with you, I've just stepped into this role 6 months ago. I've been a children's pastor for 14 years. And as I've stepped into this role, I've had a lot of different pieces, a lot of balls to juggle. And I found myself very, very tired about 2 months ago. I was sitting in my office on a Friday, and a beautiful woman named Engeli came to my office. And she's part of two local churches, and she had heard from a friend of hers about two families that were recent refugees, and they had nothing. And she came to me and said, would your church be able to help? And my body was so tired, but all I can say is my soul felt the worth of their souls, and I began to cry for them. And I didn't know what God was calling me to do, but I knew he was calling me to do something. And so on a Friday morning, I got up and I made a Facebook post of the needs that these people had, and I thought, maybe a friend or two of mine has an extra coat and I can bring it to them. And 2 hours later, I had to shut down that Facebook post because people were offering more than I could ever do. And so I went off to the Women of Faith conference that weekend and I got back. And what people did spoke life not just to me, but to my family, to see person after person arrive at my doorsteps with new items for people they will never meet. And so carloads later, I bring the items to Harbor. And again, as a person with anxiety, I begin to worry. See, God has just miraculously provided, and now I'm scared again. How am I going to do this? How am I going to get the gifts to the right people and separate it out? But God wasn't asking me to do everything. He's God. I am not. He was just asking me to be faithful in the little. And so I just simply sent out a note. Hey, is there anyone who would like to come and sort things or bring people some things? And right away, two families came to me and said, not only do I want to do this, I want to invest in this family. I want to let them know that God loves them. I want to teach them English. I want to be there for them. Other people came and they sorted items and they drove items. I didn't have to do anything other than make a Facebook post. And God provided everything else for these people. And that's what he does. God never calls us to do everything, but he does call us to do something, doesn't he? And not in our own strength, but through his power and his might. Truly, he taught us to love one another. And in his name, all oppression will cease. See, the beauty of the scripture is Paul might have been writing to his friends in Ephesus, but the words are still for us today. And that's why on your way out, you'll see some Garden to City journals. And we would love if you would just take one home and say, you know what, going into the new year, I'm going to spend time at the feet of Christ every day. I'm going to see what the word of God says, and then I'm going to believe it. And in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, Paul reminds his friends and he reminds all of us today who we are. We are holy. We are loved people. And I'd love for you to listen to this prayer that Paul wrote, and I'd love for you to believe it. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with the inner strength through his Spirit, and then Christ will make his home in your hearts, and you will trust him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, like all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of God. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you'll be made complete with all fullness of life and power that comes from God. Truly, he taught us that when we trust him, we can love one another. We can believe what he says, and we can proclaim the gospel. Oh, holy night, when Christ was born, in our sin we felt alone, but he appeared, and our soul felt its worth. So let's finish our final Sunday in Garden to City with a scripture from the book of Revelation. In O Holy Night, it says, sweet hymns of joy, in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. That's what's happening in heaven. In Revelation 19, it says, hallelujah. From the throne came a shout, a command, praise our God, all you servants, all you who fear him, great and small. And then I heard the sound of choirs, the sound of strong thunder. Hallelujah. The master reigns, our God, the sovereign strong. Let us celebrate. Let us rejoice. Let us give him the glory. That's what we're called to do today. And it's so exciting knowing that we were made in the image of God. That's what it says way back in Genesis chapter 1. We were made in the image of God. Those you love who are far from God were made in the image of God. And one day in the New Jerusalem, God will wipe away every tear. And he loves us so. And when we believe that, our soul feels its worth. And when we leave this place knowing how loved we are able to go to those that we are near and remind them of this truth. They are so loved by God. Their soul has so much worth. And that's what people need. That's why I love children's ministry and youth ministry. People sit there and they just are present with them. They just love them. They smile at them. And they let the child and the young adult know, I see you. I know God has a great plan for you. That's what we need to know here. And those that you love who are fighting through addiction, who are fighting through depression, pray that God would help them to know how much their soul is worth. And I'll tell you, I preach first to myself every single time. And God brought a special person to mind this week, and I began to pray over her. And she reached out to me, and I've been able to share that love. But how are you feeling today? Maybe you're the person sitting here today and you don't know the worth of your soul. Or maybe you do know the worth of your soul, but you are exhausted. You're surrounded by people and you're doing for them what they can and should be doing for themselves. So maybe today in the quiet, you can ask God for wisdom. You can ask him for people to come alongside you and provide what is needed. You are not expected to do everything. But you need to leave here today knowing who you are. You are the loved child of the Most High God. Breathe that in. But don't hyperventilate, right? Don't keep it in. Breathe it back out. Find someone you can share that love with. As I've mentioned many times, I love to go to Manchester Christian Church on Thursday nights simply because I don't have to work there. I can just sit there and I can hear the message and I can listen to God. And the message this week was so good because he reminded us of a truth that I sometimes forget. Sometimes what we're lacking, when we take a step of faith and do that for someone else, God does what he says in Scripture. Give and it will be given to you, pressed down. So maybe today you're feeling discouraged, and my word to you is, can you find someone to encourage today? And as you encourage them, watch that spirit of despair be replaced, right, with a garment of praise. Maybe you feel like there's simply not enough resources. Well, ask God, is there a way I can be generous today? And watch God provide for you more than you could even ask or think. So I want you to leave here today, and I want you to think about your next step. On the connection card, we always have a place. What's my next step? If you have any questions, we have a welcome table that you can go to. Someone would love to connect you with one of our pastors. But maybe today you're sitting here realizing, I've never taken that first step. I've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. And if you go to the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. And what better time in the whole year to become a follower of Christ and make Jesus your Lord than Christmas? So if you'd like to do that today, someone would love to pray with you. But maybe you've already taken that first step and you're sitting here today. And this Christmas, God is asking you to believe him. Not just believe in him, but to take a step of faith. Not to believe the lies that became labels, but to believe the truth. You are who God says you are, and you were created in advance to do something that only you can do. So today, my encouragement to you is ask God for his strength. Take time this Christmas to read his word. Take one of those journals home. Hide his word in your heart so that you will not forget it. Take a scripture that you believe, write it down, and read it over and over again, or do what I do. Find a song that has truth in it and listen to it over and over again until you believe it. Oh, holy night, your soul has worth. You know, next year we're going to spend most of our year on these sort of spiritual disciplines that help us become followers of Christ who not only know the truth, but take that step of action from that. But today, listen to this truth. Believe what God says. Stop listening to the lie that became a label. Don't allow it to take the worth from your soul. Write down the truth of God and believe it. And then finally, as I've said many times, I preach first to myself. And so for some of you, the word is to slow down. To be still, to rest. I don't know if you enjoy rest, but you were created for it. God intended you to be someone who can sit and know that he is God. In Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11, he says that, be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The Lord God of Israel is our fortress. Do you ever think about that? God is literally around you right now as a fortress, defending you, caring for you. So leave today and proclaim that good news. Christ is born for us. Your soul has been given worth because it was created by the creator of the universe who loves you more than you will ever be able to understand, higher, deeper, wider than you will ever understand. And so my encouragement to each of us today, will we leave today and know this? Because Christ has come, our soul has found its worth. Will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it comforts us, it guides us. I pray for the truth of what we've learned today, Lord, to transform us, that we will believe you, not just believe in you. Lord, right now we have people who we care so much for that are so far from you. Would even this moment, would you allow their soul to feel its worth? Would you allow us to speak life and truth over them? Some of us sit here today, God, and our hearts are broken. Would you comfort those who mourn? Would you allow those of us who are weary to be given strength from you? We thank you, Jesus, that this Christmas we can be reminded of the truth. Emmanuel, God is with us. And we thank you that our soul has worth today because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so we ask for your strength and for your joy and for your peace and for your love. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.